Ladies and gentlemen, live from Gray Haven Studios, overlooking the beautiful Isley Waterfalls, it's the Free Range Gurus.
Three brothers on an endless search for the perfect candid conversation. These are the stories of our lives,
our music,
our opinions,
and everything in between.
So sit back, relax, and enjoy this week's episode.
Hello, welcome to Free Range Gurus. I'm sitting around here tonight with my brothers, Marsh and Bender. We're having a little gin and juice, although we did mix it. I don't think we had the right juice. Snoop was never very, very, very descriptive about what kind of juice he was supposed to use.
It's
so we have a mix of Gatorade and pineapple juice with a little gin. And
it's orange Gatorade, though.
Yeah, yeah.
It doesn't matter. There's gin in it.
Exactly.
That's the main thing. We'd like to welcome you guys. This is the first ever Free Range Guru show. We're going to have some fun tonight. We're just going to start it off having a good time, talking about some things we're very passionate about, things we love.
Speaking of gin and juice, you have a little story about the first time you ever had gin and juice?
I couldn't have been more than about 15 years old. I'm sitting in a buddy of mine's house, and you know, you always have those friends where the parents have a stocked bar.
I like those friends.
Watered down drinks because you've already tackled the big ones, and we're sitting there, and we kind of everything else was watered down. We had the gin out, did shot glasses. He's looking at me, I'm looking at him. We both choke back the shot glass full of gin, and I no sooner got it to the back of my throat than it came right out all over the bar.
What happened?
Parents came walking in about 20 seconds later, and I've never seen a cleanup job that fast in my life.
Did you throw up or did it just burn?
Oh, no. All over the bar, all over the bottles.
Oh, so not only the gin, but whatever else was in your system, too.
Is that where you got your nickname, Danger?
It didn't hurt. There's many more stories like this as my life goes on. Later on, I'll get to the 28th birthday, but we're going to leave it at that one. I believe I was 14 or 15 at that point.
Starting at young.
It gets better.
Yeah.
The story never changes, just the surroundings.
For those that didn't catch it at the beginning of the show, us three were brothers, and so we've got, 46 years of living together and hanging out, and yeah. Mm-hmm. Danger here. He's a little wild and crazy, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Gin That's juice. Why I'm called Danger.
That's why.
Hence the name.
Well, I remember another time when we were in Chicago. You weren't quite so dangerous. Actually, I was kind of the one that was getting a little crazy.
You were the bad influence.
Yeah, well, you know, I was older, and you had just gotten out of the Army. And you took a bus from Fort Benning, I think it was?
It was Columbus, Georgia, Fort Benning.
Yeah, Fort Benning. And you took a bus to Chicago to meet me. I was living there at the time, going to school. And I picked you up at the bus station, and you were just disheveled and thin and obviously hadn't eaten right in a while and ran way too much in the past. And
he's still too thin.
Well, you have to remember, in the service, you have about 3 minutes to eat your food. And that's getting your food, sitting down, eating it, and going.
Well, I've never seen anybody so excited to see a McDonald's drive-thru, I'll tell you that. You've got to go to McDonald's on the way home. Okay. But anyways, we get back to my house, and I've got a couple friends coming over. And we had got a hold of some hallucinogenic material. And we had plans, but we only had four. We had enough for four people, and you were kind of the fifth wheel, weren't you?
I was the odd man out.
You just showed up. I mean, you called me, and, hey, I'm going to be in Chicago tomorrow morning. Come pick me up.
I'm guessing that it was the fun guys that showed up in town?
Here's my dilemma with your problem. I was the guy who had been in the service for the last 3-4 months, getting through boot camp, and I'm the guy who gets left out.
Okay, well, me and my buddy Ray, who's one of the finest guitar players I've ever had the privilege of being in a band with, we toured all over the West Coast for a year together.
He is amazing.
He was a little crazy, too. And he said, hey, let's get some of this acid, and I've got a couple of girls. We'll bring them over, and we'll have a sleepover. So we decided to take it, and we didn't tell you about it, if I remember right.
You didn't tell me about
until
it.
Until we were pretty much in the middle of it.
Thank you for that, too, because that made the night so much better. Not only do I not get to do any of it, but I get betrayed and lied to.
You didn't get stuck with that awful girl that I had to hang out with that night. I mean, she was horrible. I remember looking over at you and saying, I wish I had a hole to drop her in.
Yeah. Yeah, but did you ever think that might have been just the acid?
Well, I mean, to make a long story short, and it is a long story. We could talk about some funny things that happened all night long. But we did, for the record, light our house on fire. And not just a little fire. Flames up the walls and scorched ceilings.
All right.
Burnt curtains.
But if you're going to tell this story, you got to give the backstory. Well, this is like 1989, 90 at the latest.
It was 89.
And I
just got off tour.
Living Color was brand new. They had just put out a brand new album. Or the first album, Vivid. I remember watching it in this house on MTV at the time when they still played videos.
Well, yeah. we had these girls coming over, so I cleaned my room and I wanted it to smell nice. And I had a little potpourri jar that was you put a candle underneath it, and then you put the smelly leafy crap in, you know, and it had different flavors and
gotcha.
Little water, and it heated it up and it made your room smell good. And I wanted to give a good first impression.
Heck yeah.
Well, I didn't realize that once that water boils off from the heat of the flame, that those leaves dry up, and then all the oils in them from the scented oil starts on fire. And well, needless to say, one thing led to another, and I was living with some family members at the time, and they were out of town until later that night. So we were hauling burnt furniture and stuff out and putting it in the trunk of my car so that nobody would see it or, you know.
That was our uncle's place, right?
Yeah, it was. Yep.
Yeah. Yeah.
I remember taking out full-length mirrors, the old vanity mirrors.
Yeah.
Like, well, literally burnt a vanity and shoving this in your... In
the
your,
trunk in, of my car?
In my old, Buick. Shitty Buick.
Dude, that was the best car I've ever owned.
It was a very fast car.
That was my favorite car. It was a 78
The exterior
Buick
of the
Skylark.
Car gave something to be desired,
what
but
mean,
the interior
red?
Of the car was phenomenal.
Oh, come on. The exterior
Didn't you
was
guys
great.
Just used to, like, camp in that vehicle?
Well, you know, we used to go over and smoke weed with a friend of with Ray, actually, my guitar player friend, in his parents' house in the driveway, and he'd get all looped up, and we'd drink 2-liter bottles of wine coolers, too, you know.
We were cool back then. Like he was the only one.
Yeah. Well, but yeah, I mean, saying, hey, Dan, can I please drive your car around? That thing was fast. It had it was beautiful. But anyways.
Yeah, but you got to remember, he was stoned.
Yeah.
Everything looks good.
But the Chicago, great memories. I love the town.
And I mean, you were... You were super young at that point. How old were you at that point?
Oh, geez. Well, let's see. I graduated in 84, so I was...
22, 23?
I was 23.
No. If, 23,
if,
yeah.
If I was 89. If I was 19,
nope.
You were...
23.
23, yeah, yeah,
yeah.
About that.
What do you know? Did you have to use all hands and all toes and all fingers to make that?
I'm not going to tell you. I unzipped for a second.
And 23. Didn't our uncle have a maid or a housekeeper or something?
Yeah. She was from Russia. She used to wake me up every morning, knock, knock, knock. Benda, Benda. Can I have a cigarette? They go away. I'm sleeping at 7 o'clock in the morning, and I'm a college student. I just went to bed.
Yeah, 20 minutes ago.
No, I need a cigarette. Yeah, she would smoke all of my cigarettes. She'd go up into the... I mean, this place was beautiful. It was in Beverly. And she'd go up, and they had like a little attic that almost looked like a bell tower. She was like Quasimodo up there smoking cigarettes next to the vent.
Dreaming of old Russia.
Yeah. I think she was just glad not to be there. They paid her $100 a week. Oh. Plus she got to live there.
Bottle of vodka in one hand, Bender's cigarette in the other.
Exactly. Well, I thought, if I remember right, she lived there, didn't she? So,
She lived there, plus she got $100 a week. That was her room and her board, plus $100.
Wait a second.
Did she ever... I mean, didn't she do the, sense the fire, or?
She was kind of off duty for that.
Gotcha.
She was around when we needed her around. She just kind of cleaned. I mean, she was a really nice lady. She was like 60, you know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But she was just gruff, you know. She'd say some crap in Russian at me, mad, like I left my pants on the floor.
You're sure she was a woman, right?
Yeah. Well, yeah, she was, yeah.
I remember her mustache being thicker than mine.
You. It's like they say, "Hi to Vlad," you know.
And nice. And wasn't there a snake in that house?
They had like a 4-foot boa constrictor, and we used to feed it mice. And it was fun to watch because that thing, I mean, it just took its time. Like, it's in a cage. The mouse is half dead because it hasn't eaten in a week.
Right.
And the snake used to slink around like it was some kind of badass. Oh, I'm sneaking up on this mouse. You know, but whatever. I guess that's the... Hey, speaking of snakes, you guys heard about the story in the news recently about the two kids in Ontario?
No.
Ah, what a horrible tragedy. So, here's the backstory on this one. There's a 4-year-old and 7-year-old kid. Mm-hmm. And for some reason, they're staying over at a friend's house.
Gotcha.
And the friend's dad owns a pet store.
Okay.
The apartment.
This just sounds like a bad horror.
Yeah. I know it is.
Exactly.
It's a horrible story, too. Yeah, and I think there's something fishy, personally. That's just my opinion. But the kids are over at these other people's house. And I don't know what the relationship is, but these other people own a pet store. And they live above their pet store. And they have a big ass, it's like a king cobra or it's an African king snake or something like
that.
Some badass snake.
Right.
It's a constrictor type of snake that lives not in the store, but in the apartment. They don't have the appropriate permits for this thing.
Of course not.
You're not supposed to have this kind of snake because it's a badass snake.
As we will find out, I'm guessing.
So they have it in the corner of their house, and they have a piece of glass going from the floor up to the ceiling, and there's a vent in the ceiling. Somehow the snake climbed, I don't know if they had a tree or whatever, I don't know what, but the snake climbed up and got into the hole in the ceiling and climbed through the ventilation pipes. And just by a stroke of horrible luck, the pipe... Once the snake got above the children, the ventilation duct collapsed, and the snake came out into where the children were sleeping, and it killed both of them by strangulation.
Did it eat them, or did it strangle them?
I don't think...
it like a python, or was it like a...
Well, it was a constricting-type snake.
Right.
It squeezed him to death, basically.
Right. Uh-huh.
And I don't believe it ate him, but I don't know. That's a good question.
So,
I don't know the facts on that, but think about this. What were you going to say? I'm sorry.
Well, I was going to say... you've got this snake crawling along this, you know, ductwork or what have you, and then it collapses through the ceiling?
I don't know. They were kind of nonspecific in the story. I imagine if my imagination is at work, that the pipes were not above the ceiling. They were the kind that were, you know, like hanging from the ceiling.
Oh, I got you. I got you, like traveling along the ceiling. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, on the outside.
You know,
yeah.
I know this is a tragedy, and you're telling me the story, and all I see is Indiana Jones and Saul at the top of that pit.
Yeah.
Through and
you first, Indy.
Very dangerous. You go first.
No, but here's the fishy thing. Okay, now riddle me this, all right?
Uh-huh.
First of all, the snake climbs up the tree. It lives there. It's lived there its whole life.
Right.
And it climbs up the tree, and just on the night that the kids are sleeping over, it manages to wiggle its way into the ventilation duct, okay?
Mm-hmm.
This is where the bad horror movie comes
in. Yeah, well,
right?
think about this.
Right.
Think about the amount of coincidence that had to have taken place in order for this horrible tragedy to happen.
Yeah.
So now the snake is crawling in the ductwork, and it just happens to collapse from the weight of the snake.
Yeah, I was going to say, like...
It's a heavy-ass snake. I don't think it was that heavy.
Is this like the snake from the Anaconda movies?
Yeah,
that's like 20 feet long and, you know...
So you had this snake, and all of a sudden the ventilation collapses, and now the snake is loose in the room, okay?
Uh-huh.
Now, the snake goes up to one of the two children, and I don't mean to be graphic, and I feel horrible for the family, of course.
Yeah.
But the snake attacks one of the children.
Yeah.
The other child doesn't hear it screaming or yelling or, I mean, it's not like that.
Exactly.
Well, if it's being strangled to death, you're not going to get a lot out.
Okay, and that's possible. Mm-hmm. I mean, I'm not saying it's impossible that it immediately went for its neck, but I had a snake at that Chicago house.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I had it wrapped around my arm, and it doesn't just, like, one minute it's loose, and the next minute it's super tight, and you can't breathe or scream.
Yeah, it's a slow compression.
Slow process.
Yeah.
There's
it's
room
a slow
to guard. I mean, you would hear some screwing, some noise, I would think, if I was guessing.
Right, yeah, but if you were sleeping, you'd think, you know, maybe you don't wake up because it's a slow process, you know? Maybe it's just one of those...
But the snake would have had to have, on the first child, actually been... And again, I don't mean to talk about this.
Right,
The family, what a horrible thing. Horrible thing.
Yeah.
But, I mean, just to be factual, the snake would have had to be strategically located in just the right spot to stop that child from yelling. And it had to have been big enough so that the child couldn't get up and
move around
or go get his brother, who was in the same room right there, you know? So
Was it a brother or was it a friend?
His brother.
Really?
Yeah. It was the two kids and those poor parents. But think about, it feels like there's something fishy there. Something's not right.
Yeah. Do you think the, parents knew parcel tongue and just wanted to get rid of the kids so they could leave the country?
Okay, Harry Potter. No, tired enough losing one kid, then that must have just been extremely
to you lose imagine?
Two. Yeah. I know. But yeah, you know what? There is something just kind of weird about that. I mean, my whole point was if the snake's crawling along the ductwork or whatever it is, even if the pipes are outside, if it fell or the pipes collapsed or whatever, you'd think that would make some kind of noise.
Well, yeah.
You know?
Again, it's almost a perfect storm situation where all of these things had to fall into place just the right way for this to happen.
Right.
You know? And I'm not saying it couldn't have happened. And
that's where coincidence takes effect, you know?
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, it seems a little too coincidental to be. And maybe I don't have all the facts, or maybe there's back, you know, who knows, but.
Well, it's media. We'll never have all the facts.
Yeah.
right.
Speaking of news stories, I read this thing a little while ago, probably in the last week or two. They have now come out with telescopic lenses that you can put in, and apparently you can get up to, I think it's three times.
What do you mean lenses?
Like contact lenses you put in your eye and...
What?
Yeah. And you can apparently get like a three times vision out of it.
Can really zoom in on those boobies now.
Exactly.
Huh?
Exactly.
Look at that ass, huh?
Yeah. Uh-huh. Well, you know, I've seen the glasses that they actually wear and hunters use them and bird watchers.
Right, right.
Where they telescope into a binocular.
It's kind of funny because I actually saw something and kind of what you're talking about, the keyboard player for Bon Jovi actually was wearing it's a new kind of recording they're doing where he wears a pair of glasses that shows everything that he's seeing, so you get it from totally different aspects, and it's getting to the point where each of the band members is going to have a pair of these, and they're going to have a totally different visual. Ways to make movies and live video performances and stuff through this way. And
nice. Wait, you mean, explain that again, because you're saying that he's wearing glasses that record what he sees?
What he sees.
Right.
Oh, yeah, sure.
Right.
From all the angles, without a cameraman, without somebody shooting over your shoulder, you know, right, and then the cumbersome way to do that, you know,
kind of a POV for musicians.
Right. Which is honestly, again, I've watched a ton of like documentaries and you know, on anything from, you know, the Stones to the Beatles to Van Halen or what have you. And I gotta say, that's what I like actually seeing the most of is I love when they can get any kind of footage that is, you know, behind the scenes or on stage looking out to the crowd or
kind
you
of
know,
that the way it's never been done before.
Right. Because, you know, I mean, I've been a, you know, participant in the audience, you know, a bunch, and that's great and everything else. But as a musician, like, what I love the most is being on stage and looking out and seeing the crowd and, you know, kind of all that backstage stuff. As far as the telescopic lenses are concerned, my question would be, I read another article probably about a year ago, and I think I told you about it, where they had the suit that like a paraplegic could put on, and it would... kind of just read their motions a little bit, and they could actually, you know, get up and walk and that sort of thing.
Kind of get the sensation of what it
would come a long ways with
like
that. I just saw something on YouTube, I think, about that.
Uh-huh.
And they're actually making them right now. There's been five or six people that use them currently.
Right.
It's pretty neat. You see this guy, a young guy, and he used to run marathons, and he was in a horrible car accident, I think it was.
Yep.
And he sits in his chair, and all of a sudden he stands up.
Yeah.
And he walks. And yeah. This suit is pretty cool. I mean, it's kind of an exoskeleton.
Yes, yeah, yeah.
Clamps on, and they, right. You know, they actually, you know, you train it, and it uses gyroscopic technology yep. to keep him balanced. And, I mean, it's
stable,
really,
and
it's
yeah.
kind of like a strap-on Segway, almost.
Yeah,
you know,
oh, nice.
You know, that's
yeah,
so
yeah,
nice
yeah.
to see, considering, you know, we can make pills for baldness and erectile dysfunction and smoking, but we can't cure anything worthwhile. You know?
Right, right. Well, my question
yeah,
would
you
be...
You say that now when your Willy works.
Yeah.
Oh, believe me, I'll be the first on that blue pill when anyone doesn't, okay?
That'll be your favorite medicine.
Chopping them down like M&Ms.
Well, my question would be... if you know, there's a fair number of things like that. We've you know, as far as technology, again, you know, the contacts and the you know exosuit, and it's going to be getting to a point pretty soon where you're going to be able to do you know upgrades to yourself. You know,
yeah. Well,
you know, what would you want to have as an upgrade?
You know, before you ask that question, I have to mm-hmm. interject one thing. You know, Stevie Wonder mm-hmm. is actually going to have an implant done with fake eyes. Now, this is whatever rumor. I don't know
right,
if it's for
right,
sure, but
right.
I've heard this too.
Rumor.
I've heard
yeah.
this too.
And he's going to have a kind of a you know, how they do the cochlear ear implant. Well, this is kind of the version of that for the eyes. And he's going to perform after his surgery. It'll be the first time he's ever seen his audience. How cool is that?
Well,
that's
and,
amazing.
And that
yeah.
was literally the only thing he ever wanted to see was,
yeah.
I want to see my crowd.
Right.
You know,
right.
How hard would it be for you to go and see Stevie Wonder and never see Stevie Wonder?
Yeah.
You
mm-hmm.
know, to experience
yeah.
it
yeah.
that way and know that that man goes through that every night.
Mm-hmm.
And granted, that's what he knows and that's what he feels. And that's day by day on a regular basis for him.
Right? Did he start blind though?
Have those avenues open to you.
I yeah, see, that's the thing I'm trying to remember is if he actually started blind or if he had sight when at some point, when he, of course, when he was born, and then if it eventually went away.
I believe you know, he has been blind his whole life.
See, that would be
I'm
easier.
Positive. Google
I
is a beautiful
say,
thing. Let me just check.
There you go. I got to say that being blind from birth, I mean, again, it's terrible.
But if it's all you've ever known, it's
exactly,
not a big deal.
Exactly. Like, again, if you're growing up and you have sight and you're able to see, you know, a beautiful thing, well, that's kind of the trade-off is you
could you imagine
miss...
never seeing a beautiful girl?
Oh,
can you imagine
no,
never seeing
like, yeah.
just the nicest ass ever? You know, and that's just from a male point of view. I mean,
right.
obviously girls fill in the blank, but...
Yeah, yeah. But, I mean, there's, you know, everything from beautiful people to beautiful things out there. You know, art and everything else. But, you know, that's the thing. I don't know. If I was
TV.
Given a choice, yeah, well, yeah, yeah, yeah. I don't know. It's a question, too, like I said, of, you know, once we get past the stage where we're doing things like, you know, helping the blind to see and helping the deaf to hear and, you know,
well, you
we've kind of got that, and now it becomes
helping
almost like a
boink.
Yeah, exactly. Helping the
there will always be a pill for that.
Oh well, yeah,
I think
yeah.
It's funny when you think about the technology that they've used, not just the pills, but like some dudes actually have like a pump, an air pump in their
yeah.
pocket, like those little balls that they squeeze to take
mm-hmm.
your blood pressure,
yep.
and you pump up this thing that's been inserted in your willy. And it pumps it up with air so that you can still do it.
Yeah, but can
excuse
you
me,
feel
honey,
it?
I think
is
I've
it?
Got a flat tire. Look
yeah,
at this,
same way, you know.
Exactly.
Holy, fix a flat, huh?
Yeah.
Fix a fatty.
And if she's on top, can she ride so hard that she pops it?
Oh! Isn't that a Three Dog Night story in there somewhere?
Wow.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
Yeah. We digressed way
yeah.
too
yeah.
long.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But, you know, I think it's cool that... Stevie Wonder could see his crowd. That's an amazing thing.
Yeah.
You know, but what you're saying, you know, there's actually a guy, and I don't even know where he's from. I read the article a few months ago, but where he's developing a chip, and he's actually going through and getting all the doctor's recommendations, and so he can have a clean bill of health to actually put this chip in himself, where he doesn't have to get up to do things. He can think about them and have them done, you know, and that kind of thing. And there's no human subjects that he can do this on. So he's actually testing it on himself. And like I said, I don't know where I heard this. That's how
I do my chores. I think about them and then they get done.
And God willing. Mm-hmm.
Then my wife tries to take credit for doing them. I thought about doing that.
Well, her prints were on the dishes.
you ask a good question, though. What would you upgrade if you could upgrade?
Right, yeah.
It's almost Borg-ish,
yeah,
you know?
Yeah, exactly, yeah. Exactly. Well, and that's the thing. Like I said, if we get to the point where we're past, you know, the blind people can see and the deaf people can hear and, you know, everybody is, you know, because, you know, I don't know, I would feel bad about getting some cosmetic, you know, enhancement that I really didn't need if someone was still, you know, blind or whatever. But let's say if we got past that. And
I'll take it in a minute.
Yeah. And, we get past that stage. What would be the coolest thing to have, you know? And I'm not talking about, it, something to do with your pecker because God knows we all, hard on. You know, going to do that anyway. I'm saying the second thing on the list.
I'd like all my turds to come out looking like French fries.
Ah, uh-huh.
Edible French fries.
Oh, that's funny. That's a great story, by the way.
Oh, I did hear this. I forgot about that.
A scientist in Japan has found a way, or no, China, excuse me,
yep.
has found a way to process shite, poop,
and
turn it into excrement. An edible product.
Yeah, that's
that
right.
Is protein rich.
In a matter of fact, it's in a lot of products today.
No, it's not yet. It's illegal to use.
Isn't it
in the U.S.?
Isn't it in some fish? Or no, I take that back. It's not in fish, but it's in fish food that they are feeding the fish that you eat.
Oh, no, you know what they do?
Yeah, okay.
They have these big tilapia farms, and the ones in China, they actually have chickens suspended above the pools of tilapia. And they store the chickens above that, and then when they feed the chickens shit into the water, and the tilapia eat the chicken shit.
Think about that the next time you go to season your fish, huh?
Yeah.
I'm gonna start
you know what this is missing?
Farm. Yeah. Yeah, that's right.
Shite.
Yeah.
It tastes a little nutty.
Yeah.
Oh, it's all, oh, there's, then you know, while we're on the poop topic, you know, you've got those special coffee beans that cost $39 a pound.
Oh.
That an animal eats and then poops out, and then some poor son of a bitch digs these little nugget beans out of the animal's poop.
You know, if they brew it.
If
you've ever seen the movie The Bucket List, the Jack Nicholson character in that is a huge drinker of this, has a huge coffee. And anybody who's seen this movie is going to know what I'm trying to talk about. It's two words, Lapa Kadapia or something, some word for the bean. But ridiculous, and it's Abacadala. Is that from Harry Potter too? But it's ridiculous. But the way they make these beans is it's amazing sometimes what we put in our bodies and the lack of knowledge we have of what we're actually putting in there. You know.
Well, I will listen to an interview of one of the first persons to try this fancy. You know,
uh-huh.
a coffee bean that's passed through the digestive system.
And it's the most expensive coffee
in the world. $39 a pound. Well, I mean, imagine being the guy that has to dig it out of the poop. Okay.
Right.
You better
pay
him good.
Mm-hmm.
But the person that's drinking it was like, well, you know, it's really good. It's got a mild flavor and there's a really different, unique flavor. I can't quite think of what it is. And all I'm thinking of is, well, I know what it is.
Yeah.
It's shit.
Yeah, exactly. Uh huh. That extra wang taste is poo.
Yeah.
That's not Maxwell House.
It is absolutely not good to the last drop.
Unless you're in the outhouse, right?
Nah.
But getting back to the question that you asked, what enhancements would you do to your body?
Right.
I think that if it were up to me, there's so many people hurting with bad backs, I would want a spine replacement.
Yeah.
Something to give me a new backbone, you know.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Well, I was always interested in the kind of the Google Glass thing where it was, you know, being able to bring up, you know, maps and, you know, locations and basically have what is your smartphone available on your eye. I've seen
just have that built right into your eye. That's
right,
cool.
Right. Yeah. Well, and there's I saw a little add-on to that where it was where you could look down at your wrist, and if you looked at a certain spot on your wrist, this little, you know, keyboard would appear, or a number pad would appear, or something like that. So it would be kind of tied to a whole system. So, like I said, you could basically use it like you use your, you know, smartphone these days, you know?
Well, I've seen those things where they project lights onto your desktop.
Oh, yeah,
and then you just touch, and the lights are the, they look like a keyboard.
Yeah.
And it's just a light, and wherever your finger goes to touch it, that's how it, you know, it, anyways, you know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Yeah, that's pretty cool, yeah.
Well, Danger, what would you do for an enhancement?
You know, that's kind of tough. You know, there's so many things you could do.
Less hair on your ears?
Less hair in my ears. Less gray in my hair.
Me too.
You know. But I think I would have to go with you know, mind enhancement, brain enhancement. So something that's going to make me think more or have me think more. I mean, in all honesty,
of your brain, right? I mean, they say
exactly,
we only use 10%.
Exactly. You know, something that's going to make me grasp stuff or get ahead of the curve, you know?
I like a guitar tuner installed into my forehead.
Yeah, that would be smart, since you're a drummer.
Yeah, well, you know.
Well, he could always, a tune. Yeah, when he could always just sing me the note that I needed to tune to, you know?
Right. Well, you know, and speaking of enhancements, what a cool thing to be able to enhance your ears. Rush Limbaugh, and I know he's, some people love him, some people hate him, but he had that cochlear ear implant done.
Right.
And, you know, he describes, he had hearing for most of his life, and he describes what it's like to hear with this now. And it's a totally different kind of hearing, which is kind of cool. But, you know, and especially with the concerts that are coming up this at the end of the summer, I could use some audio help for that. We've got some good shows coming
up. You
know,
this is one of the best summers I've seen in 10 years where just shows where, wow, I would quit jobs after job after job.
Yeah,
to go and see some of these shows.
Yeah, your buddy Kip Winger is going to be at that show on the 14th of September.
I believe his name is pronounced Wanger.
Wanger, yes. No, but you know, I don't know if we told you this, Marsh, but me and Danger were talking and we're listening to the radio. Guess who's coming to concert? Sammy Hagar.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
Nice. You know, nice. Say what you want about Sammy Hagar's solo career. You cannot
he was awesome.
He was phenomenal. In he was such a good replacement, and took Van Halen to a different level as far as musicianship, and made them really, really think outside the box.
Well, can you think of
three
anyone?
Lock box.
think outside of the three lock box. That's awesome.
Can you think of any other performer in, you know, rock or country or anything else that has had a solo career that was very successful? Again, as you know, before he joined Van Halen, he had a half a dozen hits on the radio.
Oh, the guy was selling out major stadiums.
Right, and then join a super group and have arguably just as much success or more. You know, there isn't really someone like that.
And then now he's got, of course, chicken foot.
Chicken foot. And that's chicken with the drummer from the Red Hot Chili Peppers. I can't remember his name. What's his name?
Anthony Kiedis?
No, that's the singer. The drummer for Chili Peppers, either way.
Chad?
Yes, something. Chad.
Yeah.
Something.
So Chad.
And Joe Satriani on guitar. And I don't know, you know, a lot of people don't listen to instrumental music at all, but Joe Satriani, one of the main reasons why Metallica has made it so big. He helped train Kirk Hammett, and helped mold Steve Vai, who was in Whitesnake, and David Lee Roth, and back to back sessions with him for 10 hours, or just practice studio.
More importantly,
the guy's phenomenal.
And Michael Anthony. One of my favorite bass players and one of my inspirations.
Arguably the best backup vocals in rock.
Oh, my God. Dude. Yeah, pristine.
If he never picked up another bass again, he could have a solo career doing any kind of vocal style he wanted. He's bar none one of the best, backup singers ever.
The Jack Daniels on stage, and that's cool. Although I heard that
whether it's iced tea or not.
I was going to say that bottle is filled up with iced tea. But
now, I don't really need to ask this question. But we might as well go on the record for our each individual answers. You know, you've always got the David Lee Roth versus Sammy Hagar debate.
Without a doubt, David Lee Roth.
Both in their own rights.
Right, right. You know? For sure, for sure. But I got to go with you. I'm definitely a David Lee Roth fan.
And not to knock Hagar, man. I mean,
David
Lee Roth a run for his money. He just did it in a different way.
See,
and my personal love is with the entertainment value that David Lee Roth brings to the stage. First of all, you're talking about a guy who can sing two notes at once.
Right.
Yes.
He can create a subharmonic that resonates and sings two notes at the same time.
Yeah. And there's nobody who touches Roth. There's nobody who touches Roth.
Back in the day.
Back in the day, in his heyday.
Right. Now, I have to say, I know that his singing ability isn't as wonderful as it was, but I just watched a video of him doing a live show just a year ago, and, dude, the guy's still jumping around like a monkey.
Oh, yeah. Right.
He's spinning 55, a key. He's doing karate, and he's...
Up there with your parents, you know?
But, yeah.
Well... Mm. Our parents, they're in their mid-70s.
Yeah.
Not quite 55.
But in that same respect, as much as I love Roth and Hagar, I got to go with Hagar as the musician. I've always liked Van Halen with Hagar better. I thought they were a better band. I thought they did more. They didn't rely. When they did rely on keyboards, it was in such a proficient sound where it was taking away from what they were, like it was with Roth. When you hear 1984 today and you hear the intro the actual song 1984 before you hear Jump, popping that into my cassette player in 1984 was like, do I have the right tape? Is this Boston?
Yeah.
You know, I'm not taking anything away from Boston, you know, but exactly. Uh-huh. It was not the same band. Sound.
But
it was not Diver Down. It was not Fair Warning. I'm sorry, the very first thing you ever heard on 5150 introducing Sammy Hagar was the "Hello, baby." You knew what you were getting. You knew this was going to be a powerhouse, you know. And then you get songs like "Summer Nights" and 5150, the song, you know. Maybe my favorite Sammy Hagar tune of all time.
Summer Nights? For sure.
5150.
Oh, okay.
Summer Nights, too.
My whole thing Hagar is like...
Oh, yeah.
Honestly, one of my absolute favorite albums out of the 80s is OU812.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, sure.
Just a classic.
Front to back.
Classic album. But, and like I said, it's one of my favorite albums of the 80s of all times. I could listen to it anytime, front to back. But it's a hands-down win for Roth, though, because you can't... the early Van Halen, I mean, you have, you know, Mean Streets and Where Have All the Good Times Gone. And
Jamie's
even
Crying. Just a Gigolo. Hagar could never do Just a Gigolo.
Ice Cream Man. But in that same respect, insane tunes. Whenever they did acoustic numbers like... You can't put... Finish What You Started up against Ice Cream Man. Ice Cream Man will always win.
Right.
But Finish What You Started is a great tune. You know?
Right.
I started out with the disclaimer that I'm not taking away from Hagar because he's probably the only one that could have split the Van Halen army into two parts.
Right. Taken it to what it did.
Half saying it was Hagar and half saying it was David Lee Roth.
And again, you know, that was the 80s thing too, because honestly, right now, if someone came up to me and said, I have a ticket to a David Lee Roth show and I have a ticket to a Sammy Hagar show, I would go to Sammy Hagar.
Yep.
You're kidding me.
Me too.
I would because I've seen a lot of reports and I've seen a lot of footage. I don't know. And I've seen a lot of stuff from Hagar too. And I think at this point in their career, I think Hagar's
the front
runner right now.
Okay, so let me ask you this. You have a choice of seeing Chickenfoot or David Lee Roth with Greg Bistinet on drums.
Oh, come on. That's unfair.
That's unfair. Wait a second. That is kind of fair. You're talking Joe Satriani compared to Steve Vai.
That's
great. You're talking Greg Bistinet to the Chili Peppers drummer.
Yeah, there's no comparison there. Greg Bistinet smokes anything the Chili Peppers ever did. Right.
But, and Mike and Anthony,
bass-wise,
I would have to say Billy Sheehan.
Yeah.
But vocally,
he's just a monster.
Billy Sheehan doesn't bring anything to the table.
Right.
You know, don't short Michael Anthony. He's
not no.
Power
and hitter. And see, that's kind of the other problem that I had with Van Halen once Sammy came into it. If you listen to a lot of the early albums with Roth, Michael Anthony is all over the place. He is he is climbing and running and doing everything with Eddie, and he is just as talented as Eddie is. And then Sammy Hagar comes in, and they kind of regulate him to just play this one note for 30 seconds.
Now, that being said,
and I was kind of a little disappointed with that.
Maybe the first guy in a band in a heavy hard rock venue to ever come on stage and do a bass solo.
The joke is, listen, another drum solo. I'm so sick of drum solos. And the next guy says, hey, no, we want the drum solo to keep going. And the original guy says, why? Why do you want the drums to keep going? Because once the drums stop, then it's time for the bass solo.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, exactly. Right. Michael Anthony did a killer bass solo.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you never saw a bass player steer a boat with it, you know?
Yeah, right,
mm-hmm.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Right. Well, but, I mean, you had a couple little
Jocko
spotlight
story.
Yeah, well, no, I'm talking like as far as like the big arena rock places rock bands. You know, you had, you know, Metallica had, you know, a bass solo section and where he did a whole bass solo thing.
Well, he did it on the look at Cliff Burton and Anesthesia Pulling Teeth.
Right. That was part of a song.
Jason Newsted sucks on bass. He is a worthless bass player, if you ask me.
Yeah, you know what? He wasn't exactly a great replacement for...
You're a better bass player than Jason.
Yeah, hold on. I think Jason Newsted walked into that with huge shoes to fill.
And you
can't compare Jason Newsted to Cliff. There is no comparison, and very few people you can put in Cliff's shoes.
Right,
know?
Right. He was a kind of a anomaly.
Yeah, you're right. Anomaly is a good way to put it.
Yeah.
The only reason Newsted worked in Metallica was because he had the attitude,
right,
and he kind of had that same look that he was the strongest guy in the band for sure. You know,
mm-hmm,
he
right.
was a bigger guy and yep. he had that goofy haircut and he was kind of mm-hmm. like,
rah! When finally yeah. someone yeah. uglier than the rest of
yeah,
them.
Right, yeah,
you know?
Right.
Exactly.
You know, that's why he worked. And it absolutely wasn't because of his talent.
But
Newsted came from Flotsam and Jetsam, which was an excellent band.
Yeah,
you know,
we're okay.
Mm-hmm. Bass wise, phenomenal.
Well, let's talk
they
about concerts again because
yeah.
we talked
oh,
about
okay.
No, Sammy
well,
Hagar.
Better yet, right. let's talk about singers joining bands because there's a few that have come up recently that I am just appalled at, and a few that I am just amazed at. Let's go back a ways though because there's some that really really been dealt a bad hand and were amazing, and there's some that have taken the echelon and went, wow, this is going to be such a good project, and it fell flat on its face.
I have no idea what you're even talking about.
Well, it's kind
okay,
of it's,
let's
it's,
talk about
it's
John
kind of the
Karabi.
Roth. Yeah, what's well, kind of
what
the
about
Roth
John Karabi?
Leaving,
he,
you know,
he's working at McDonald's now, isn't he?
Oh, wow. Okay,
I think he's pumping.
No. John Karabi actually just released a solo album that's phenomenal. For those of you who don't know, John Karabi was the guy who replaced Vince Neil when they had their big split.
He worked with MC Hammer.
He worked. Well, now you can't say that. You actually went to the Motley Crue concert with me with John Karabi, and you cannot deny that John Karabi came in there singing Vince Neil songs better than Vince Neil did.
Well, you sing better than Vince Neil does now.
Say what you want about Vince Neil. Vince Neil is a hard guy to sing. He's got a very unique voice.
Yeah, I've had to sing him before, too.
He's tough. There's a reason why you don't see a lot of very good Motley Crue tribute bands, mm-hmm. you know? It's kind of like Jeff Keith and Tesla. You never see a Tesla tribute band. You never see a Rat tribute band, because those guys are just bar none exclusive.
All right. Though, Electric Eye is a new tribute band in the cities. It's a Judas Priest tribute mm-hmm. band.
Yeah.
And I just heard a clip on Facebook from their singer. Uh-huh. The guy sounds really, really
good. Now,
really.
Speaking of that, when Judas Priest disbanded, when Rob Halford came out and said he was gay and the whole nine, Ripper came in. And that's fine. That's fine. That just
metal. Whatever you want to do.
The guy was the poster child for metal for years before anybody said he was gay. So if he wants to put lightning bolt on his head and can think he's Harry Potter, that's fine too. Yeah. now Ripper came in and did two albums with him. I believe it was the X Factor and another one. I can't remember. It did very poorly.
The Voice.
Yeah.
No, it wasn't The Voice.
It was American Idol.
Ripper, in his own right, was a phenomenal singer.
Yeah, yeah.
Ripper Owens, I believe it's his name.
He replaced
Rob Halford in Judas Priest for two albums.
Yeah.
And Rob Halford went on to do two and fight. And Halford.
Well, we saw two.
And,
yeah. Remember, we had two.
And that was when Johnny Number Five who went on to be in David Lee Roth's solo project, and Johnny Number Five from Marilyn Manson.
And Trent
Reznor. He went on to join him.
Another fool.
But two is a phenomenal project. Two is excellent. But Ripper got dealt a very bad hand. It doesn't take anything away from his singing, but
Well, come on.
He was no Rob Halford.
To replace Rob Halford is kind of like the guy that had to date who's the girl from Baywatch?
Pam Anderson.
The guy who had to date Pam Anderson after Tommy Lee.
Oh, that was Kid Rock.
I know. Yeah. And
you can't dangle like Tommy.
Anymore, you know?
Yeah, exactly.
Because you can't dangle like Tommy.
Well, that's what I'm saying. I mean, going in after Rob Halford is kind of like going in after Tommy Lee.
Right,
you know?
Right. There's no way you're going to you're gonna fill the spot.
Because you can't drive a boat with it.
Speaking of manly things, all right? What's this crap about manscaping?
No. We'll get to that. We'll get to that. There's some other issues I want to bring to the table. Since we've got singers going on right now, there's one thing that's really disturbed me. There's one really good prospect, and there's one really just grinds my gears, okay? I heard a song the other day, and in its own right, it would have been an okay song, and then they told me it was Stone Temple Pilots. Well, when you think of Stone Temple Pilots, who do you see singing?
It's Weiland.
Who is Stone Temple Pilots? It's Weiland.
Right.
He has always been there. Nobody can tell you anything other than that there's a couple of brothers in the band, and you can't know if it's the drummer, or the bass player, or the guitar player. Nobody cares.
It's the brother and the guitar player.
Exactly.
I'm
sitting there. There's a song called Animal on the radio, and in its own right, it's probably a great tune. When they told me who was singing for STP now, it was my jaw dropped, and I was like, oh, I'm so disappointed.
Who is it?
Chester from Linkin Park.
And
Linkin Park is almost as bad as Creed or Godsmack. They are in a league of shit on their own.
Now, there are points on the song where you could hear pieces of Weiland. But it's pieces. It's like shattering a mirror and trying to pick away the pieces and being able to see yourself in it. You're never going to see yourself the way you could with that full mirror, you know.
Well, the good news is it's Chester, so it's going to be a one album stint.
God,
we'll
with any
only
luck,
have to put up with him for
any
one
luck.
Album. Well, come on, you and I both know.
But
that's like when Queen wanted to have Lady Gaga replace Freddie Mercury,
right?
Or Adam Levine.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
I actually like Adam Levine.
Keep going with that.
Except for the part where I don't know if this is a rumor or if I actually saw this. It was back in my partying days, but it was Adam Levine and John Mayer.
Hold on. It's not Adam Levine, because Adam Levine is the Maroon 5 singer, if I'm not mistaken.
That's what I'm talking about.
Okay.
Adam Levine and John Mayer were making out on stage.
Yeah, but that's kind of like that same rumor about Trent Reznor coming out and sucking Marilyn Manson's dick on stage.
Right.
You know?
Yeah, that happened.
Nobody ever. And I have yet to see a picture of it. I have yet to see somebody who was there. And it could have happened. It could have happened.
I read his book, and I think he talked about that in his book. And he and his what's his guitar player's name? Twiggy. He and Twiggy used to fag out all the time too.
Oh yeah, he's definitely a little bi curious. I'm not going to lie about that, but
Whatever.
To each his own. You know,
right? Whatever.
Gobble whatever you want, but
yeah. But anyways, well, okay.
but then there was a really good prospect I heard about, and you know, and as much as STP brought me down, this one brought me up a little bit. Queensryche split. Maybe 6 months ago, 8 months ago, about that, and there were a lot of different stories on how it happened in the whole nine. And now there's two different Queensryches. There's Jeff Tate's Queensryche,
the singer,
The singer Jeff Tate, the original singer of Queensryche, has his own Queensryche, and then the band, every member of the band, went on and did another Queensryche with, I believe it's Mark LaTorre,
never heard of
unknown him. Guy. But they just released an album with him, and it's not even 40 minutes long. It's 12 songs, and everybody I've talked to who has heard this thing says, oh, screw Jeff Tate. This is the best album of the year, you know, which is nice. And then they're saying it's back to the Empire days, the Operation Mindcrime days, and the Promised Land days, which is anybody who's a Queensryche fan, that's when the best stuff came out.
Have you heard it?
I've heard one song off of it, and I gotta say I was amazed.
I'd really and surprised. Just like to hear the whole.
I loved it, but I also like the idea of Jeff Tate's band. I've heard that the drummer and the newest guitar player, Quiet Riot's old guitar player, and who's now with Rat, and Rat's drummer Bobby Blotzer is the new drummer and guitar player for
one of your
Jeff
top drummers,
Queensryche,
right?
Who and also Dover from Megadeth,
Gondor
is the guitar player. And then, granted, this is just he could do this in his sleep. He could do Queensryche in it, but this guy is phenomenal. Even anything he does, I would go see.
Yeah,
Bobby Blotzer is one of the most underrated drummers in 80s rock.
I love Bobby Blotzer.
And that's the drummer for Rat, for those that don't know it. But if you ever get a chance to listen to some of the B-cuts and deeper cuts on the album, man, that guy's a monster drummer.
Oh yeah.
You listen to anything on Out of the Cellar, especially like I'm Insane or anything off Invasion of Your Privacy, he is as proficient as Tommy Lee was in the 80s. There are things Tommy Lee does and inspired so many drummers to learn how to beat a pair of drums. Bobby Blotzer could have been the Joe Satriani to Steve Vai as Bobby Blotzer is to Tommy Lee.
Well, you know what else is interesting? Another drummer that I just dug up, I haven't heard him in so many years, probably since the 80s. It's just one of those cassettes that I haven't listened to in a long time. I don't listen to cassettes much anymore at all. But is April Wine.
Oh.
Their drummer reminds me so much of Bobby Blotzer. They have
great
a lot
drummer.
Of the same tones.
Another underrated band.
Styles.
Underrated band. And then sold short.
To kind of do a weird little circle back to a few minutes ago, I've seen Rat three times now. One of the shows that I saw was they had their original guitar player had died, and they had brought John Corabi, like we were talking about a few minutes ago.
You're talking about the Crosby.
Yeah.
Robin Crosby died.
Had died, and so they brought John Corabi in to play second guitar and do some backups. The album that Motley Crue ended up doing with John Corabi, I thought was actually one of their
Hooligans
better albums.
Holiday,
It was actually a self-titled Motley Crue,
right.
But they had Hooligans Holiday on there. They had Power to the Music. They
Smoke
had
the
Uncle
Sky.
Jack Smoke the Sky.
Uh-huh.
It was a phenomenal. Misunderstood was the ballad,
and
I believe.
Tommy Lee played really well.
And we actually saw them on this tour,
was
phenomenal.
What was
like
the name
I said
the girl
earlier,
I took to that show. Do you remember?
She wasn't the one you wanted to put in a hole. I know that.
No, Heather. That's right.
Okay, we'll call her Heather. Phenomenal show.
Mm-hmm. Well, that album was so good because
John Corabi also played guitar.
Yes, yes. They finally had that second
guitar
player.
Vince Neil was just
player.
Kind of a, or I'm sorry, yeah, Vince Neil.
No, it was Vince.
Rhythm
at best.
Yeah, just a strummer, you know, a campfire kind of guitarist. But John Corabi could actually play guitar. And on that album, you could tell that he and Mars sat down and, you know, created some.
Gotta say this
awesome
right out of the gate. Mick Mars is also one of the most underrated guitar players out there.
Yeah, he really is. He really is.
You know, first off, we're musicians here, okay?
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
Let's clarify this. When we're talking about some of the best guitar players out there, we're really just referring to
rock.
That genre. Not even rock, but 80s rock.
And
because compared to any of the real great guitar players,
they're monkeys.
Just shit. Yeah,
they're
really nothing.
Yeah.
Basically, anybody, understand, we've done this from the ground up. We've done the staging. We've done the roadie work. We've done the lights. We've done the sound. We've done the scaffolding. We've done hanging 60 feet above the stage with a spotlight in your hands. Every possible thing you could think of to do on a stage, we've probably done it.
Yeah.
And on top of it, we've been in many bands where we've all performed in
producers,
front of thousands of people.
Writers. Yeah, we really have tried everything, haven't we?
Yeah. Well, it's the funnest and best thing
that
has ever happened in my entire life.
In the world.
You know? Yeah. It's insane.
All right, so let's do this real quick. Best concert you've ever seen?
Oh, damn.
Live concert.
Damn.
Anything on TV, only live. Listen to the crickets chirp.
Yeah, no kidding.
You can see the gears
spinning.
The
hard thing is it's hard to pull one out because certain concerts have certain meanings to me that I can't necessarily put one above the other. You know, I could say my first concert that was Dream Theater in a little tiny club. And you know, I could say the last concert that all three of us went to, Boston,
which was so much fun.
Incredible.
By the way, for those of you that
it was one of the best shows I've ever seen.
Next podcast, sometime in the next three podcasts, we're going to air the interview that we got with the band Boston.
That was a great time.
Got to meet them.
And we might
and
run the interview that we did with Foreigner, too. That was a great show.
I'll tell you what. Foreigner was it Lou Reed? Was it the singer?
Yeah, Lou Reed, but
or was that Lou Graham?
Lou Graham, excuse me.
It was Lou Graham. Lou Graham was phenomenal, and Foreigner would not be what they were without him, obviously. But they hooked up with a new singer a few years ago, and this guy is the epitome of Foreigner. If you could ever get a guy who could do exactly what the original singer did and bring more to the table and energize the crowd and make you walk away going, I don't even know who Lou Graham is because this guy carried the band so well. This guy does it. He above
rare.
And beyond
that's
the,
very rare
the
he was
simple
such a nice
status
guy too,
of,
and we got
of
to
what
interview.
He was.
He was so classy, really a good group of guys. I have to say they really impressed me.
Well, and it was the same thing with Boston. I mean, their original singer died a few years ago.
Brad Dump,
Commit
suicide.
That's right. Hands up. And then they brought another guy on, and if I remember right, they found him. And I don't want to say it was YouTube because that's everybody's.
No, it was YouTube.
But he is. He works at like Home Depot.
Oh yeah.
Like
well, and
I know.
Michael Sweet from Striper also was
sang with him for
right.
2 years. Yeah.
Right,
which I would have never put those two together. And on
but
top
he,
of it,
he
as
left
as,
them,
as
put Striper back.
What
together.
Killed me was and have a brand new album out. I might say, but what killed me about Michael, and they would play with both these singers together doing the job of the original guy, but what killed me was as high as Michael Sweet can sing, he was singing the low parts while this guy from Home Depot or wherever he was working was taking and just soaring with the high notes, the vibratos. He was phenomenal. You would never think this guy came out of Home Depot or something, you know?
Yeah.
Well, they found him on YouTube. He was singing in a Boston tribute band.
Yep.
And they had a video on YouTube, and it was kind of like the movie Rockstar with Mark Wahlberg. Kind of the same type of situation. And what a great opportunity for this guy.
Right.
And he came on board, and he sings so naturally.
Yep.
And just really sounds like Brad Delp and does a real good job of imitating what Brad Delp did in the spirit of Brad Delp, yep, without trying to be a copycat. He still has his own.
Yep.
Oh, and the guy was very humble. You know, it wasn't like he was coming out there saying, I am the new singer of Boston. He was out there going, I'm going to show respect to the guy who was the singer for Boston. Yeah.
Well, didn't that same thing happen to Journey? Didn't they find their singer on YouTube? Well,
boy, that's a hard story right there to see what happened to Steve Perry. You know,
do you know what happened to him?
Oh, well, the guy.
Because I've heard three different versions of this, but I found out which is the real one.
This is my take on what happened, and this is the only story I know of, is that at a point when Journey broke up, one of the reasons was Steve Perry was afraid of the crowd. He would get scared of the crowd at a point, and this is just one of the stories. I mean, and there's a few of them out there, so you know, kind of pick and choose which one you want to believe, but. The one I heard was he actually got afraid of the crowds where it was overwhelming to him.
Yeah, he wasn't afraid. He had anxiety.
It was almost like agoraphobia of the crowd. Right, you know,
right. And it was because their audiences had dropped off. Grunge happened, and that music just, you know, it's so funny now. Journey used to be. In our day, we were young.
In they were 80, just, 81, 82, they were the band.
No. Uh-huh.
Escape was a huge album.
No, it was, of course. And we all loved it. We just didn't admit that we loved it because that was a chick band.
Exactly.
That was chick music.
That was love music was music to have sex to.
Journey a lot.
Yeah.
I mean, you could listen to Separate Ways because that had a kick-ass guitar part.
Right.
There were a couple tunes that you could... But don't start singing Broken Arms.
No.
Open Arms. Open Arms.
Broken Arms.
Broken Arms.
I'm thinking of the...
But I'm sorry. Nobody can... No, there's not one person out there who can tell me that Separate Ways, Worlds Apart is a pussy tune.
That's a great
maybe the hardest edged,
you know. Oh, for sure.
Truest but Journey song out
you
there.
You could get away singing those songs and listening to those, a couple of Journey songs.
Right.
But then you started going to Love and Touch and Squeeze like that.
Only
and
the young.
You know how Journey got started, don't you?
Give your girlfriend back her cassette tape, you know.
You know how Journey even met or even got famous, don't
I don't know.
You?
You told me before.
They were a soundtrack band. They would do music for movies, strictly for movies, before they ever had a name. And they were all in the same movies and barely knew each other. That's how they knew each other. That's how they got to meet each other.
I want to look that up.
But you know, I still to this day can't watch or even think of Vision Quest with Matthew Modine without hearing Only the Young screaming out, you know, or like running down the road with a jog and a pair of headphones on and not thinking, God, I wish that song would come on the radio. Yeah. I can sure use some pep.
That's
here.
Right. You're doing a lot of jogging now, aren't you?
I am.
And some manscaping, too. You got to talk about this for a minute because it's killing me.
You know, you've been giving me shit about this all week.
I can't believe. What the hell is manscaping? You seriously...
Okay, you know what landscaping is, right?
Of course.
It's where you make your yard beautiful, right? And some people will agree with me, some people won't. Now, obviously, you're not going to agree with me on this one because we've been going back and forth.
No, not only am I not going to agree with you, I'm going to call you Twinkle Toes from now on.
Well, that's wow. That's pretty ballsy, man. I'm not going to lie.
No, I'm just kidding you, man. You're my little brother. I can give you shit. Now, tell me, what is... Okay, here's my thought, all right? Guys are supposed to have hair on their bodies, you know?
Yes, like, but there's a limit.
I had a guy at my work telling me, oh, dude, you got to shave your nuts. It's the best thing. I said, first of all, I don't want to hear about that.
There is nothing like a shorn scrotum.
A well-shorn, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
No, come on, really?
Oh, don't. In all honesty, you know what? I do everything from my eyebrows to my chest hair, to my balls, to my Johnson, to everything.
Why?
Because there's places where it doesn't need it. And you know what? I'll be real honest with you. When was the last time I wouldn't go down on a chick if she had inch-long pube hair? No friggin' way.
Whoa. Inch-long?
Inch-long. No way.
Every girl has inch-long pubic hair.
Not the ones I go down on.
Okay, and first of all, here's my rebut to that, okay?
The 80s ended. That's when they invented the razor.
Yeah.
No, that's not a knife. This is a knife. No, look. The reality is the girls are supposed to be primped and manicured and trimmed and pretty and okay. lovely and all that.
Okay.
Guys are supposed to have some hair, you know?
I don't know why you turn down eating pussy anytime. I don't care if it's hairy or smooth or whatever it is. Like,
that's
pussy. Like,
yeah,
no. I want that. You know?
Yeah, but I want to see it. I want to know what it's like. You know the old example of you got to check out the field before you go out and play ball?
What are you checking for, ticks?
Yeah.
I mean, sure ain't going to find them in an inch of hair, are you?
That's what the scratch and sniff method is for. But no, seriously, I mean, your chest hair? No, wait, let me see my pruning.
Simple pruning.
You're actually cutting, you're trimming your chest hair, dude.
Yep. Yep.
There's something goofy
No.
I'm not trying to be rude, and
there's practicalities to it too. I have a lot of chest hair, and like early in the summer, spring, if I want to go out and get a tan, and if I have too much chest hair, the sun doesn't get through it, and you can tell that there's a white patch under there. No, regardless of how tan I am, there's a patch of white that you can see through the chest hair. The sun can't get through it. But boy, you can sure see it, you know. So you know what? In the early spring, early summer, I get that down to a point where the sun can get through it, so that I can get a full tan.
I have to give you crap. Can you understand that? Because I don't know a whole lot of guys that go out to get a tan. To begin with,
I do.
You get a tan because you go outside. You don't go outside because you want a tan. Tans happen. They don't. You don't. Girls go.
I know a lot of guys that can.
Depending on what shift you work, sometimes you can't even get out during the day. You know,
yeah.
I've worked shifts where I only work during the time the sun's out.
The sun is out from 7 a.m. until 9:15 at night.
And you know what? I've had jobs where I work 6 a.m. till 6 p.m.
Then go out for 3 hours in the evening.
And you know what? The sun isn't blazing hot like it is at noon.
So how do you tan if you work that way?
On your day off?
Yeah, go tanning.
Well, anyways, whatever. I think it's weird the guys go out and tan.
And bottom line is,
I think it's weird the guys trim their chest hair.
I don't think it's very fair or it's beneficial to me because, you know, you're sitting here telling me that chicks should be clean and proper and shaved and the whole that's okay for them and I totally agree with you on that and
being
most chicks should
has nothing to do with being clean
but no.
Yeah anyway
to a point it does then there is a hygienic quality there okay would you go out with a chick with underarm hair?
I have. I didn't enjoy it.
Okay, was that attractive to you?
Dude, she's a girl.
No, and she's that's not the question. Was she attractive?
They teach in my child's high school, they teach those young boys in health class that they should trim their armpit hairs. And when I heard that, I just about went ballistic. It's like, you're killing me here. You're literally teaching kids in high school to act like girls. That's just...
Was it in a health class?
Yes.
That's why. It's hygienic.
Please. Oh, yes, because for the other...
Okay.
No, listen, the other 15,000 years that men have been on the planet, we've all been dying and getting sick because there's too many hairs in our armpit.
No.
Yeah, I don't know. I think that's definitely going to an extreme, but I'm kind of in the middle where, you know, I mean, heck, I'm lucky if I shave once a month these days.
Well, I mean, if you want to shave your nether region, that's your deal.
Well, what I'm saying is that I'm kind of in between where, you know, I don't shave my chest hair. I don't, cut my armpit hair or whatever. But, I definitely do a ton of manscaping on the junk only for the reason that, I think it just feels better with, if you've got a girl, going down taking care of the boys, it just feels better with a freshly shaved, scrote, and it is as opposed to having hair down there.
And then I don't have to worry about her, you know, ingesting it and choking out it or what have you. And, it just feels good. She can choke on something
else. That I don't want to go down on somebody with way too much. I don't want the Zohan of the chicks coming out and engulfing my face with hair as I'm going down.
Right,
on.
But my
in the same respect, if they're going to shave because it's going to be easier for me to or them to get off or for me to enjoy it, I should be in the same respect of, you know what, if I want to have a head or a good blowjob, I don't want. I should be respectful. I should be able to do that.
That's fine. What if your own business, and I don't even want to know what you do down there.
Oh, you'd be surprised.
No, I really don't. If you want to shave your balls and your willy, that's up to that's not even. I don't even consider that part of this conversation. Almost, it's more about your chest hair and your arm hair. And you know what? If you shave the hair out of your ears, fine. Because, guys, when you get old, your hair moves from your head to your ears.
So why is that okay?
Well, because that's a little unnatural.
Now you're just being geographical.
No. That's a little unnatural. It's a sign of old age more so than anything else. Same with nose hair. When you start having
nose
hair,
it's things that people see every day.
Yeah, right. That's grooming. That can still be manly to do.
But when you have a job application and you go for an interview, do you go with a scruffy ass beard or do you shave or do you shave?
You know Dave Anderson?
Yeah.
Yeah. He hasn't shaved in. Yeah. He shaves once.
He also hasn't been laid in like 3 years. So I don't.
Oh, please. Well,
okay. Well, hold on. Now I have.
Marsh doesn't shave.
Why? Especially my face. Plus, honestly, yeah, chicks dig it. Okay. So, here's a reverse question. You have a girlfriend or a wife or whatever. She shaved the way that you want, and everything is fine, and all that sort of thing. If she says, I'm into guys with a lot of hair, and I like hairy balls and hairy chests and hairy armpit and all that sort of thing, would you then just grow it out? Because that's what she wants, and then
that's
she
when I get
too,
the makeup kit that the actors use, and I start... glue and hair to my balls or something, you know?
Why would you do... That's... Okay.
That's the thing. If that's your partner's thing.
Here's the other thing.
You know,
if you're going to manscape, there's only one manly way to do it. Maybe this is where we come to a compromise.
Chainsaw?
A chainsaw? No. Yeah. That would be a
that's manly.
No,
it's manly.
No. If you're doing
you can
it,
only do it once.
If you're doing it because your girlfriend or wife wants you to do it, and then she does it for you. You can still keep your man
yeah,
card.
Yeah, okay, very true.
You
very
can still
good
keep
point.
Your man
oh,
card.
I've definitely done that.
But
if you do it on
your own and just because you like it that way and it's just...
I'm not trusting any chick with a blade near my Johnson. That, no.
Yeah, but you let them put their teeth on it.
Yeah, I got a little gift for him, too. Here, have some pineapple juice, too, while you're at it. Is that fruity enough for you, babe?
Good Lord.
You just keep it on your body.
You know what it is? It's time to wrap it up, guys.
I think so, too. I think this is a good subject to do it on.
Thank you so much for joining us on our very first inaugural presentation of Free Range Gurus. And we picked that name because it's something we just talk about, whatever we feel like talking about. Free range.
Exactly.
And if you do have any questions for us or comments, you can email us at freerangegurus@gmail.com. You can also look us up on Facebook under Free Range Gurus. You can also look us up under Twitter at Free Range Gurus. And we're actually talking about getting a Pinterest page. We'll probably have a Pinterest page by the time this airs. Supposedly Pinterest is just a lot of chick stuff, but I'll tell you what, I went on there and I found a ton of cool X-Men and Star Wars.
They got a ton.
Arms,
oh, yeah.
You know,
oh,
so
yeah.
We're probably going to pin some cool
if you guys got any ideas for ideas you want us to talk about on the show, please send them to us.
Yes.
Very open.
So. Or opinions about manscaping or stories about snakes. Or
hey, as long as we just don't put up any pictures
I'm just about to
on Pinterest of manscaping.
My snake.